My thought for his first game ever with limited reps, I thought he did an outstanding job.
Yeah, I think, you know, I was, again, more impressed with just the mannerism.
I thought he managed the game really well. He started well with that big pass to DJ Chark.
Shotgun for Luton. He drops the throw. Good time. Fires it deep downfield. He's got a man out there. That's DJ Chark. 30, 25, 20, 10-yard line. Did he get to the pylon? Yes, he did. Touchdown.
He finished well with that two-minute drive, ran a touchdown in. So
it's another blitz. Steps up, runs it to the left. He's going to try and run it. Got away from one to the 10, to the 5-yard line. Spun into the end zone. Touchdown. Jake Luton ran it into the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville.
Listen, guys, he did some good things. He exceeded my expectations. I thought he did really well in his first start.
We went and we looked at it. Obviously, there's some throws, you know, that I'd like to have back and some reads I'd like to get through a little bit quicker. But, you know, I think that's football. You know, I think there's guys that have been in the league for 20 years that, you know, they still watch it and they wish that they could change something, and they work every week to change it. And, you know, that's what I'm going to do.
1010XL 92.5 FM presents right. Jaguars Today.
Woo-hoo.
With your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony
dog.
Smith,
That's
and Tom McManus.
My guy.
All right, here we go. ET's everybody's guy. Good morning, everybody. ET, by the way, over $3,000 now on the Box of Socks collective effort.
Yeah, we reached the goal. We surpassed the goal.
Keep going.
Keep going, man. Keep going. It's going to be a beautiful thing.
Is the GoFundMe still up?
It's still up. I'm not sure how that works, if you can still donate, but it's still up.
I think you can once it goes over.
I'm pretty sure you can. Yeah.
And I'm not going to stop.
There might be a time limit, but is that in your pinned tweet on your Twitter feed?
It sure is.
All right, at IME to the T.
That boy know how to work Twitter now.
Oh, my goodness.
Thanks to my
dog. They got the new thing. What is it? Feelings? What are they called?
The stories or whatever?
They have a name. Fleet. Fleet? What is it?
Yeah, it's a fleet.
A fleet.
Like tweet, but fleet.
Oh.
So it's only around for like a day.
Oh, it's
and then it disappears.
As well.
Yeah.
All right, whatever. That's fine. Good morning, Tom McManus.
Good morning.
How are you?
I haven't heard of this fleet. What's it called? Fleet?
I don't know, man.
Is it like Instagram for Facebook, but for Twitter?
I think
kind
so.
Kind of where it goes away after a while.
Twitter's trying to help out that audience that says stupid things that they would rather have disappear into the ether after about a day. So now you can.
You could go back and delete them if you want to.
You could.
The TikTok is huge in our house. I don't watch it, but my wife will sit there and watch TikTok videos. She loves them. And one of her videos got like 200,000 likes. Like,
wow.
Which
wow.
I guess is
what
wow.
What did she do in the video? Like
promoting her business, her fitness business.
And
down
how long are these videos?
They're quick. It's like 30 seconds maybe.
Yeah.
I didn't really get it, but they go based off trends. Like there's a trend because you hear the same song over and over for a while, and people mimic it and do their own thing to it, mm-hmm. and then they put it. I don't know. I don't do these things,
right.
But it does happen in my house.
I
a lot of TikToking in my house.
I got a lot of learning to do. Actually, I don't. I'm well past the point. I'm going to learn any new social media platforms. I think I say that now.
You know, it's interesting that just real quick, they're learning how to make not TikTok making money, but how you can promote your product, your brand, your shirt, whatever. On TikTok, and it's working for a lot of small businesses.
Are there a lot of people out there making a lot of money doing a lot of things
smart.
On YouTube and whatever?
Smarter than me.
I don't get the whole thing, like why I care about what some teenager had for dinner, but some people do, man. And
right.
More power to you. Look, if you're that teenager, and
they
you
do
can
a lot of
dance
stuff
that.
On there, a lot of dancing, you know, trying to mimic the dance.
Yeah,
I don't know. Hey, man, it's better than the mountainous streets. You
I was
know,
told I was
causing
made
trouble
for,
like we did.
I was told I was made for TikTok, but I haven't crossed over there yet.
Oh, you are made for TikTok. Without it, he would be a
TikTok
a champion, no doubt.
All right, well, we got to get people to follow his Twitter account first, man. At IME to the T.
Right?
There
all
you
right.
Go.
Happy Friday, everybody. Jags,
how was the week?
You know,
how'd you guys feel
it
after
is
the
what
game?
It is.
I mean, you're happy that they played hard and almost had, and then happy that they lost, or what?
I think that's probably the ideal outcome. You know, I don't want them to be terrible. I don't want to feel like you're starting over at every position. You know what I mean? Like, they showed some heart. They played hard. But, I think at this point, season's long out of reach. The playoffs are gone, you know, as a realistic possibility. I want them to get the number 2 pick in the draft at worst.
Yeah.
So, If that entails losing the rest of their game, so be it.
Yeah. I mean, props to the young guys in the building that the team is having this level of success this year, and we've seen the kind of effort we've seen the last couple weeks. They're not a very good football team. They're a bad football team, so bad things tend to happen to bad football teams. They go up there and they fight last week up there in Green Bay. We'll see what it looks like against Pittsburgh on Sunday. But, look, I do think there's something to be said for a group this young to have not let go yet. Right, like the effort.
Do they
looks
know
like,
any better?
I don't know. You know, like you get to that point, Tommy. It does feel like it's not on the field, right? Yeah. Like the effort isn't going to go down on the field. The effort's going to be lost in your preparation on the practice field. Like that focus gets lost, and at least to this point, it doesn't feel like that's gone for this team yet.
Yeah, no, and that's good. You know, look again. Do they? They're so young. They don't know any better, or they just look. They've got the locker room is a place where they say, "Hey, we still got a ball." You know, you've seen teams quit on coaches before. We've seen that, right? Like, they're flat. They don't care. They're very, you know, undisciplined, a lot of penalties, et cetera, stupid penalties.
Tuning out the coach.
That kind of stuff. That's not happening here. But I credit that. I do credit the staff to a certain degree. But it's the players in the locker room. They're going to decide, hey, we're gonna fight to the end or we're not going to fight to the end. And that locker room is fighting big time. And I don't know. There's no moral victories, but a couple guys, you know, like Hamilton, once again, stands out to me. I think he's going to be a player in the making. I think Henderson, too bad he got hurt, but, you know, I thought he was physical, and he wasn't perfect. Obviously, you go against Adams, he's unbelievable, but, you know, I think overall they came to play.
They did. Yeah.
The weather had a lot to do
with
it.
I'm with you. There's no moral victories, but that doesn't mean individual – you're not hoping young talent – doesn't improve, of course you are.
And I thought about you guys during the game, at the end of the game. You asked me once, do you pay Cam Robinson, you know? Yeah, depending on what that is. But it's amazing how they play well most of the game and then right at those crucial moments. And it's happened, like, last year it happened, this year it's happened. You know, it's just – that's when I sit there and say, well – now, you're not going to win every single time, but, man, when the game's on the line and you got to give your quarterback time, you got to block the guy. You can't get beat. That's the kind of left tackle you need to really succeed. And I'm not saying Cam can't get there, but, man, so far he's shown that he's not there yet. That's disheartening, you know, because it's not, and, you know, the O-line played fine. Look, the running game was great. You know, James Robinson was great. The win played a major factor in throwing the ball, you know. Luton could have been a little bit better with his accuracy, and the receivers could have helped him out a little bit more. You know, so I guess, you know, as fans, you know, they lose, which is great, but, man, they really gave him a run for their money, so that makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Look,
you didn't get your butts kicked.
There's a cross-section of fans that feel that way. There's others that want them to win because, and I get that. I was driving in thinking about it today. You know, how many years can you go with the same thing, playing for the future, playing for the future, playing for the future? You reach a certain point where you're like, the hell with the future, man. Just win today. I don't really even care because I don't believe that you're ever going to build, you know, that perfect team that's going to lead me to glory, that's going to wash away all these years of suffering, and it's not going to be worth it. So let me at least enjoy my Sunday afternoon. And I totally get that. You know, if you are one of those fans who just wants to beat the Steelers and consequences be damned, fan on, man. You know, feel good about rooting for your team on Sunday, and if they give you a good performance, be happy because you haven't gotten that many good ones out of them this year.
No, you're right. And look, I'm not defending anybody, but with the misses at QB in the draft, you know, with star players wanting out for however that happened, they still wanted out. I mean, you know that's a lot of talent wasted. You know, especially long term for your and the health of your franchise. Regardless of how it happened, it doesn't matter that it happened. I mean, you're talking about some of the top players, you know, that you let walk out the door. Now, we could debate which ones those are, but too many of them, right? I mean, think about if those guys were here, you know, with the right attitude.
Well, that's
it would
part
be different.
Of it,
right.
Right.
But
if you had Ramsey and Ngakoue, I mean, even Calais is hurt right now, but he's been playing well
absolutely.
This year.
We said it before. I'll say it again. After 2017, they got their they their heads got big. They did, and I'm telling you, go back to that. We talked about it offseason. How are they going to handle the success? What are they going to be like in 2018? We all felt like, no, they're in, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're a team. Holy cow, look at all the talent. And they did. That defense was sickening. You know, so I think you go back to that. That's been the start of at least this most recent downfall, and they're digging their way out of it, hopefully.
Oh, no. We got one vote already for our question of the day, by the way. Which three Jaguars will have the best performances of the game versus the Steelers this week? As we've pretty much put keys to victory away for a while, at least. It doesn't seem like it means all that much at this point. But Cristiano went with C.J. Henderson, Gardner Minshew, and Josh Lambeau.
Oh, dear.
He said everyone on the field will suck. So just by virtue of not playing, it's not a lot of confidence emanating out of South America now. But, yeah, C.J. Henderson, that's a big blow.
Yeah.
I think we all mostly agreed he probably had his best game since the opener this past week.
Agreed.
Now you got Pittsburgh coming in, Juju, Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool. They're going to spread you out. Right, James Washington, they could throw it all over the field.
Yep.
Obviously, Roethlisberger to distribute, and your supposedly top cover man down. I think Sidney Jones may have played better at times this year, but you know, as in the ninth overall pick, C.J. Henderson, a lot is expected out of him, so it will be without him for a minimum of 3 weeks. We'll talk about the defensive side of the ball a lot today with Tom McManus, with Todd Wash, Joe Schobert, and Josh Allen all talking to the media. You'll be able to hear from those guys throughout the course of the program as well. Question of the day out there on Twitter, which three Jaguars will have the best performances of the game this week versus the Steelers? And you can weigh in on Twitter at MD_1010XL and 1010XL Fat Tony, at Meathead55 and at IME to the T on the phone lines or the text line at 641-1010. Jaguars Today rolls on, 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Well, it's hard to rattle him if you hit him, if you don't hit him, because he knows what he's doing with the ball so fast. He's just an exceptional quarterback, and he's playing as good as he did, you know, when we played him the last couple times in 17 and 18.
Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
That is Todd Wash, the Jaguars defensive coordinator. It's hard to rattle Ben Roethlisberger. He's seen a lot, you know. He could take a hit, still deliver the football. He's certainly seen the worst of his own play against this franchise.
Yeah.
Five interceptions. So I don't think anything this defense is going to throw at him is anything. He'll look and say, man, it's going to be an easy Sunday in the park compared to some past Jaguar defense.
Yeah, and not to mention the face plant, you know, into the car way back in the day and lived to tell about
it. Now we're going back. Yeah.
Ooh, that was like 30 miles an hour going into that tank. How he survived that is beyond me. But he's one of I really like Ben Roethlisberger. He's just, you know, he hangs in there, he's still got the big enough arm. You know, the hands must be gigantic. They have to be to hold that ball as long as he can. He's one of the few, I think Rodgers could do it too, can actually do a full fake throwing motion without even having to.
The pump fake,
yeah. The pump fake without even worrying about losing grip on the ball.
Right, yeah.
He's been a great, great quarterback in the National Football League. No doubt. He's tough as hell. He's having a great year, too. When did he get hurt last year? Was it midway through, or when did he go down?
Pretty early, yeah.
He had three ligaments that they had to fix in his elbow. It was pretty major surgery. Yeah. He's come back. What's he, 22 touchdowns, 4 picks? Got the weapons. I still say go after him. I got to give Wash credit. 2 weeks in a row, I'm giving him credit. But I did like the creativity, you know, trying different things with his defense. You know, I like when nobody's got their hands on the line of scrimmage, you know, as long as it's effective. But I did appreciate him trying different things than just saying, okay, we're just going to line up, and if you got gap integrity, we'll win. No, you gotta do something different, and he has.
Well, what they had been doing hadn't been effective, so you got to try something at some point. And if it's not effective either, then you try something else, and you keep trying to figure it out. Here's what Todd Wash said yesterday when asked about what the defense is doing well and getting right now.
We did a lot better job with explosive plays. We did give up a couple of them. The big touchdown was one, but I think we're starting to obviously keep the ball in front of us. We're tackling pretty well. And I think even with the we're getting them in third and longer situations, which is helping us out. We can bring some pressure. We can do simulated pressure when we get in those down and distances and still play zone coverage behind it. So I think we're doing a better job on first and second down and getting them in third and longer situations that really allows us to be a little bit more successful.
Well, they did a really solid job against the run last week,
that's
right?
The key.
And that set it up. Yep. And James Conner's not having a great season by any stretch.
No.
You know, this is a guy that if you let James Conner go for 110 to 120 yards this week, you're not – I mean, I don't think you're going to win the football game anyway, but
right.
I don't think you'll be close to making this
– No, their running game as a whole isn't very impressive this year, the Steelers, at all. But, you know, that can change. You know, and one, depending who you're going against, they've got a – you know, they've got a passing attack that'll keep you back on your – on your heels. But the key is, look, Tony, you got to stop the run. At least control the run. You might not shut it down. I get it. You want to shut it down because then you really force them to throw. But as long as you can control it, and they past couple weeks, they've gotten a lot better at that.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, you look back at the Green Bay game, and if you were going to describe that defense in one word last week, I would have said physical. Yeah. Like, they were the more physical team when that defense was on the field, and that's not something you've been able to say a whole lot about this Jaguars defense this year. But last week against Green Bay, they met the intensity of what they needed to for that football game. And I get it. The win plays a factor. It probably slowed down Aaron Rodgers a little bit to some degree. He still throws for 300. That's Aaron Rodgers, right? You're still really young in the secondary. You got a bunch of pieces that are moving around on that part of your defense. So that kind of stuff is going to happen. But that they tackled as well as they did, that they stopped the run as well as they did, they met the physicality of the Green Bay Packers last week. It's a big test with weather not looking like it's going to be a factor against an even better football team in Pittsburgh this week to do the same thing.
Well, look, when the weather, the wind will factor the passing game all day long, but the running game, you're beating your man if you're shutting him down.
Yeah.
That's what's going on. And I tell you, that Hamilton, man, he's really getting more and more impressive every week, at least the last couple. He's on his way up. Of course, Miles had another nice day. A few guys stood out. Look, I thought Henderson especially, man, he broke on the ball really well.
Yeah.
Might have got a catch in front of him, but broke on it real well, came with some force.
Knocked it out a couple times.
Knocked it out. I thought, I thought he had a good game.
Who's he going to take? Oh, never mind. Damn it. Trying to figure out who's going to cover
it's
this.
Hayden, though. We get Hayden back, right? Is that factual?
He's been taken off the IR.
Okay.
Doesn't mean he's playing
yet. Let's get Todd Wash on the status of DJ Hayden.
He's been working on the side, so I think today is really the first day that we're going to be able to have him out on the grass and going through some defensive stuff. Obviously, he's a vet. He knows our package inside and out. So, it's probably not going to be where he's going to play every snap in the game, but we're hoping to, get him up, see how he responds today, first of all, at practice, and then we'll just make the decision as we get through the rest of the week.
Ease him back in, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Right? So. Yeah. Ideally, then, at the moment, until C.J. Henderson, we don't know if it's going to be 3 weeks or the rest of the season, how it's going to work out, but you're going to have Sidney Jones and Trey Herndon. It'll go back to the outside, and you'll have at least when D.J. Hayden's on the field.
Yeah.
And we'll see how much he's able to play.
Yeah, I mean, look, if he feels good, he plays more.
Sure.
Right? Got to just wait and see how he reacts.
Hey, look, it is what it is, man. You know, you're not going to – C.J. Henderson goes down. Guys are going to go down. Yep. It's just the way
it is.
It's
the NFL. Yeah.
Right.
Guys get hurt.
You're going to have to cover – even if Henderson was active, it's only covering one of those receivers.
Yeah.
Anyway, even if he has a fantastic game and takes that guy out, okay. Right. What about the other three?
Yeah, what about the other guys?
I would guess it's Clay Brooks, their kind of third – other guys, it feels like, to this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mean like if
Hayden can't go
– Right, if Herndon's still staying in the
slot. Like he runs three corners, that's basically your base defense at this point in time. That's 70% of your defensive snaps. So if Hayden can't play all that, maybe you want to move Herndon back in that slot spot, play him on the outside when Hayden can play. But I would guess Clay Brooks gets a lot more work this week.
Could be. I want to go back to just looking at some numbers from James Conner. We're talking about wanting to slow the run game. You go back to the middle of October, and he played against Cleveland, and Pittsburgh dominated them, and they won 38-70, averaged 5.1 yards a carry, 20 carries, 101 yards. He's averaging 4.2 on the season. Right? Okay. So you look at that, and you're like, that's not bad.
That's good.
Right?
Yeah, it's not bad. Good.
But since then, against Tennessee, went down to 4.1, didn't score. He scored in the Cleveland game. They won that game by 3 against Tennessee. Tennessee's a good team. I don't think they're a great team, but they're good.
Yeah, they're solid.
Then they played Baltimore. He averaged 3.1 yards a carry.
Ooh, shut
again,
down.
That's a 4-point win. Again, good team, but yep. the margins are getting closer. Then they play Dallas, who's not a good team, and they win by 5, and Connor gets held to 2.4 yards per carry.
Yeah.
Nine carries, 22 yards.
Watch that game.
Right, and then Cincinnati last week, despite the fact that they dominated the Bengals, he had 13 carries for 36 yards, 2.8 yards
a
pop.
Wow.
Really, since the middle of October, he's been declining. I don't know if there's one specific cause, if their offensive line's not opening the same kind of holes, the quality of opponents. That middle stretch was 3 straight road games for him as well. But regardless, you know.
Our own defense playing better.
They beat Cincinnati getting nothing out of James Conner.
Yeah.
And they beat him 36-10.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not enough just to stop James Conner. That shows
But
if you let him get off, you got no chance.
Definitely not, because you're gonna take your lumps in the passing game, I would imagine, unless, of course, you know, Allen and Chase on, they you know, the switch goes on and they start getting really consistent with getting after the QB, of course, with Hamilton rising on the inside. But, you know, you don't want Connor getting going, especially when they convert, you know, to first downs with running the football. You want them to do it through the air, if at all.
Well, you've certainly been impressed with Devon Hamilton. Most observers have, you know, the guys like, you know, the former players, the film watchers, Logman, Bacella, I hear them talking him up, you know, his play as well. And yesterday, Todd Wash was asked about him, says he believes the sky is the limit for Devon Hamilton.
Devon is a big physical guy. Probably what I like the most about him is he's a gym rat. He's very intelligent. You know, we put some stuff on his plate last week. He was able to execute it and played really well for us. So I think the sky's the limit for him. And he's, once again, he's getting better and better as the season goes on.
Tom, we asked, or I think Tony asked Jeff Logman on Tuesday, what you see him as in the long term. Is he a nose? Is he a 3 technique? And Log seemed to say he seems like he's kind of like right in the middle. Like he could play a little of this, a little of that. He's not necessarily one completely best suited for one over the other. Do you agree with that? Is he, you like his versatility?
I think he's big enough, obviously, to play nose. But I would he'd be my 3 technique. I'd move Brian in or get somebody else for next year. But and the reason being, I want to see a guard have to pass protect against him. You know, one on one, I'd rather have that than him have to deal with a double team pretty much. And it might not be a full double team. It's not like they take 2 guys and just concentrate on the nose, but you do get hit by 2 guys typically at the same time or, you know, within a millisecond of each other. So I'd rather see him. I'm okay if they move him around a bit, but I want to see him on an offensive guard and see what he can do. That's a big, big man. He's like an Albert Haynesworth. I mean, he's big and can move like that. And, man, he's getting better with his play.
Yeah, and you hope that, you know, that'll pay dividends for the other guys in that pass rush here soon. You know, that you finally maybe have somebody absorbing a little bit of that on the interior of that defensive line. It feels like Josh Allen is just a heartbeat away from 2 or 3 sacks a week right now.
Yep.
Now, look, again, he's Josh Allen. You expect him to finish those plays,
right?
To get there that heartbeat earlier, but Devon Hamilton improving can only help the chances of that. And the other thing you notice with Hamilton, too, is his effort is always there.
Yeah.
Like, even when the play is away from him, he is
hustling,
finishing at the football and creating plays for other guys. For a big man to have that kind of, like, you can't teach that. Like, they either have that or they don't, and it feels like Hamilton does.
He's a guy you could build a defense around. He could have that kind of presence, especially if you can, gosh, go back to the old Stroud and Henderson days. My gosh, how incredible were those two, you know, when they played next to each other. You know, but something like that. But I like him on that 3. I see what Log's saying. He could do both. To me, he puts a lot of pressure on an offensive guard who typically aren't your best pass protectors, right? Based out of the 5, you know, tackles are highly more regarded as pass protectors. Mm-hmm. They're more run. You're not moving him one on one. I mean, I like to see someone move him off the ball by themselves. Maybe, you know, the guy up in Indy could do it one on one. their big offensive guard.
Quentin Nelson, yeah.
Quentin Nelson, you know, he's 330. You better be big like that if you're going to try to move this kid off the ball.
The shame of it is, though, I mean, look, I'm very happy that he seems to be playing very well and everyone's happy with his play and that the sky is the limit and all these other things for Devon Hamilton. But, man, I'd feel better if we'd hear that about the first three picks in the draft. But you know what I mean? Like, I think LaVisca Chenault is – I'm very intrigued by him, but he's not healthy at the moment, right? So he's the one, to me, who I feel the best about based on the play when he was healthy.
Sure.
C.J. Henderson, up and down, right? Yep. He had a couple of good games. He had a lot of sketchy performances. Yep. Kalyvon Chaisson's been completely invisible.
No, he has. So he doesn't show up, it doesn't seem at all.
You know, and I know people say, oh, well, they're rookies. You know, well, Devon Hamilton's making an impact.
Yeah.
You know, and yes, he's being pressed into duty, but so are these other guys. And, you know, if you're – and I get it. You're drafting not just for this year but for the long term, but – that's 1 year of a 4 to 5 year contract situation that's going by the wayside here as the team's 1-8.
I like seeing him moving around. I like that Wash moved him around last week, so I like to see more of that. I just don't think he's a defensive end. I think we should stop that. You don't have to do it this year. Let him, whatever, take his lumps of however you want to call it, but I don't see him as a future right defensive end.
Hey, we were talking the other day about what you see the biggest needs are, so think about that.
Okay.
Heading into the offseason, as things stand right now, other than quarterback, what you think are the two or three biggest positional needs on this football team, and we'll get into that on the other side with you a little bit. We'll hear more from Todd Wash. Joe Schobert and Josh Allen also speaking yesterday as the Jags get ready to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll hear from those guys on the defensive side as well. With Tony Smith, Tom McManus, ET, I'm Mike Dempsey. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Everything you need to know about the Jags. Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Sounds like some X-Files kind of stuff right there. What is that, E? What are you playing there?
That's Young Jeezy, baby.
Is that Young Jeezy?
Oh. Yeah.
Was he doing that, what do they
versus
do on
battle.
The Versus thing last
night,
right?
Him and Gucci Mane.
I'm like looking at all these crazy hashtags, all these trending topics.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
telling
like,
you, man,
it's a Jeezy song. Oh,
okay. Like, I didn't know my whole timeline was full of fans of these guys. Like, I woke up this morning,
big.
It was just everything was about this battle.
It was crazy.
Right? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, like half the trending topics on Twitter were just songs from their playlists.
Uh-huh, because they were beefing for a long time.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah. And, like, it was a real beef. And so them coming together last night, and it got intense last night, but then they squashed the beef on the internet. So it was a really big thing. It was a big deal.
So you're Team Jeezy, I take it?
Oh, I'm Snowman, baby. Big Snow.
I'm going to pretend like I know what that means.
Yeah, I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
I will say,
it's music.
Yeah, I do not hear the term squash the beef without thinking of the Thanksgiving It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia episode.
I don't recall.
Where they brought everybody back in. They were going to do them all. They were going to bury the hatchet. Like, they were going to make amends with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
They invited them all over for Thanksgiving, so they were going to literally bury a hatchet, and they were going to squash a piece of beef. Like, it was their whole thing.
All the cliches.
Yep, yeah. And they wound up setting the apartment on fire. And then locking everybody in there while they escaped.
Of course they did. Oh, I think I do remember that part of it, actually.
Yeah. That sounds like a McManus gathering back in the day.
Is that right?
We always made up in the end, though.
You run, you walk out in the hall, see if anyone's out
there. There was no fire.
Any witnesses? I'm out of here. Tom, we got this. that was funny. Best Jags player this week, Tyson Alualu.
Mm.
Former Jags
player. He's playing great for them.
Yeah, he had been.
He really has.
He missed a couple of games, and I think they missed him, you know, because he was a big part of the run defense.
Yeah.
He came back last week. But, yeah, most people are saying he's having a terrific year.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pretend that I am watching the film and breaking down Tyson Alualu.
No.
But, I mean, word of mouth, you know, the people who cover the team will tell you that he has been outstanding for
them. Yeah, and the fans will too, right? They notice. They notice him quite a bit. But
he was always a good player. A good, solid player.
Absolutely.
It was not Tyson's fault. If expectations had been different, if he had been a third-round pick like Devon Hamilton and been allowed to develop at his own pace – and then again, if Jack Del Rio hadn't thrown him into an Oklahoma drill on his first day after showing up after a short holdout and getting him hurt and putting him behind the eight ball right off
the
bat.
I forgot about that.
I mean, first day, hey, you're going to show up and be – I mean, no easy in the camp, no let's make right. sure you're in the right kind let's of shape.
He wanted to show off his shiny new toy.
Exactly.
Let's show everybody why we took
or
you.
Or we're going to show you that you don't hold out and welcome to the – you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
maybe.
Like that kind of whole mentality. Okay, you're here now. Here's big boy football. Gonna get right into it. Okay, what did that get you? Got you a guy who was less than 100%.
Yeah.
But anyway, if he had been a Devon Hamilton type pick.
Right. Same with Taven Bryan, right? If Taven was a fourth rounder, fifth rounder, he's playing better against the run. You can say what you want, but that guy's he's doing all right against the run.
Seventh. I'll give you seventh right now on that.
All right.
We got on the text line, Tom, designed by Lifetime Enclosures.
Yep.
Someone asked, can you ask T-Mac to elaborate on the term move him off the ball, please?
Yeah, so play him in space more than putting him, you know, against the right or left tackle, you know, with his hand in the ground.
You're talking about Chaisson.
Yeah, aren't we talking about Chaisson?
Whoever.
Oh, I thought that's what he was talking about when I say move Chaisson off the ball.
If that's what you were referring to.
I thought that was maybe I'm misunderstanding.
No, tell us what you
off the ball is in space, you know, so you can utilize your speed and your athleticism rather than your power.
Further away from the middle of the line of scrimmage, right? Further away from the actual football. Is that
just off the line of scrimmage? Like, so you're not on the line of scrimmage. You're not a defensive tackle. You're not a defensive end. Your hand's not in the ground. You're off the ball. You have a little bit of room in between you and that first blocker that you could maybe use your speed and athleticism instead of having to take him on right away. You know, I equate it to Mike Mamula, who some would, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles defensive end. You know, the biggest bust, whatever. I know Mike really well. They signed him to a second contract, so I don't think that. But he played off the ball in a stand-up at Boston College when he had like 15 sacks his senior year. And then he did a great combat and whatnot. They played him as a defensive end. I'll never forget when Mike Mamula had to go against Tony Boselli for the whole game as a defensive end. Tony threw him around like he was in high school. It wasn't a fair. It was like what he did to Jason Taylor. Now, Jason Taylor might not be a great example because he was a very good defensive end. But I would, if I'm Chaisson and if I'm his coach, I want him more in space so he could maybe not have to wrestle that big guy every single snap. Maybe not have to, you know, put his toes in the ground and, you know, take on that run block and try to stymie him there. I think I would rather see him off the ball. You know, utilizing that speed and athleticism.
Yeah, and we've seen, like, Chaisson is just, we've talked about it, he's not showing up in the box score. When you watch games, he's not flashing very much in those games. Yep. He's not giving him much in the way of run defense, right? And lining him up at defensive end just hasn't been working with his hand in the ground. And I think it may be part of why we're seeing in the last two or three weeks they're playing a little bit more with these guys moving around, standing up before the snap, especially in pass rush situations, to try to give Chaisson and Josh Allen an advantage in those kind of moments. You can't do it all the time because I imagine it doesn't help your run defense to have
guys wandering around. Yep.
But in pass rush situations, at least, it seems like Todd Walsh has been willing to do that a little bit more.
Which I like. That, you know, I like that creativity. And I think he could play Sam. I really do. But, you know, that's for another day.
Well, I think he might have had they been able to work things out with Ngakoue,
right?
You know, or you know, just had a different set of circumstances on the D line.
And I think that's not an assumption. That's reality, right? If Ngakoue was here, he'd be our right defensive end, correct?
Yeah.
So then the kid's out of position. You didn't plan on him being Ngakwe's backup.
They acknowledge that, though. I think they said at the beginning of the year we're going to play him here because that's where we have to. We have a necessity to play him there because what's your option if he's not doing it? And I understand it hasn't produced much, but at least he's getting, you know.
It might have been Gunter. It might have been a handful of guys, but they weren't available.
By the time, training camp
rolled around, Woods was here.
What were your options?
Yeah.
You know, to play defensive end opposite Josh Allen, and they were dwindling.
Al Woods, if he was on his nose right now, Hamilton would. That would be an incredible duo.
And who knows? Al Woods maybe comes back next year.
Yeah, maybe.
Right? I mean, great. Now, I'm not saying he saves the team or anything
like that. No, but that'd be a great duo right there.
You know, at least it would give you a kind of a buffer because you might have to go out there and draft another defensive tackle next year, you know? And then, you know, if you got a veteran in there, you got Hamilton hopefully ascending in his second year and another young player and maybe Taven Bryan in the mix. I don't know, you know, as your four tackle group. talking about the different things that Todd Wash has done. He talked about that a little bit yesterday. He said they've changed some of the things that they're doing since the bye week.
I think we've done some different things defensively, too, with some simulated pressures that we added in the bye week. And that has definitely helped us on third down. We're playing different packages. We probably played more what we call bandit and dime than we have in the previous 3-4 years combined since I've been here as a coordinator. So we're doing some different things, getting different guys on the field, and they're in position to make some plays, and they're making them.
You know, Joe Schmingi, who was a great defensive end for us back in the day, they had a package specifically for him called the Bat Package. A lot of teams run it. And the Bat is basically what he was the Bat. They would move him all around the defensive end, pass rush situations. And he'd run games with either, you know, you'd have a three-set defensive line, you know, a nose, maybe an end and an end. He would go in between. He'd work a game with the nose. He'd work a, you know, a game with the tackles. He'd come on the outside. He was a bat that could move around. I see Chase on doing that kind of thing, right, to give him that opportunity to again, create a little bit of space in between him and that blocker to use his quickness, his speed, and work that way. I like to see him in that role. And you're kind of seeing it, you know, with them standing up. It reminds me of the bat package when they're standing up around the line of scrimmage.
I'm going to sit here and tell you that I don't think Todd Wash is a crazy person, right? I don't think he's insane. I don't think he's stupid. He knows that he has to try different things at a certain point, right? So why did it take so long? Is it
great question?
Is it a case of maybe they had better personnel last year and they felt like we can't get after you with more base things, and that this year you have so many rookies, so many young guys, that you're trying to acclimate them to the season without a normal off season, that you didn't want to put too much on them, and now you're finally feeling like they can handle more, and that's why, you know, coming out of the bye, okay, time for a little mental reset. Now, guys, we're going to try to add some stuff. You've got your feet wet. There's no more baby steps. I don't know, because I don't think, like, well, Todd Wash has to know and see the results, and we all see the results and say, why isn't he trying this? There has to be a reason behind it.
Well, I think, at least from my point of view, you know, when Marrone came out and said, hey, I'm, you know, that press guy, I'm jacked up, I'm fired up, you know, I'm doing this, I'm thinking out of the box, I'm going to, you know, we're going to do, I think he, you know, they went from conservative, because look, you look at Wash, he's been conservative. You know, it's like, hey, you got to win the battles. I'm not always not comfortable bringing more than five. Not, you know what I mean? It's taken a little bit recently for him to come out of this.
So you just think that's his nature, and that they just kind of decided, all right, to hell with it.
Maybe as a staff, maybe Marrone said, hey, Todd, you know what? What do we got to lose? Let's figure something out. Let's get creative. Let's do something different. Let's do something that the offense isn't expecting. You know, because this whole we're just going to win the matchups isn't working.
All right, let's get a question in from Robert on the west side here on Jaguars Today, 641-1010. Robert, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. Good morning. I got a question about Todd Wash and all defense coordinators, basically. Is it him, or do they just get into this, like, I'm a 4-3 defense, and I'm going to, regardless of the personnel I get or we draft, I'm going to play 4-3 and that's just it? Or do they be like, you know what, we kind of have this type of personnel, maybe we need to kind of start rolling to a 3-4 to kind of adjust to what we have instead of just being this bland 4-3 like defense? Like, why doesn't he like look at what he have and see what most of us see and try to adjust it? I think maybe he can keep his job, you know, if he switches it, you know. I mean, it can't get worse.
All right, Robert, let Tom weigh in.
Yeah, first of all, I think if you go back, especially last week, he had a couple 3-4 looks. He might not have called it 3-4, but he had the three D linemen, and he had the Allen and Chase on standing up, and then your two inside backers. So if you watch closely enough, he is doing a little bit of the 3-4. You know, some guys are just set in their ways. I'll go back, and I don't always like doing this, but I'll go back to Dom Capers. Dom Capers is known for what?
Zone
3-4.
Yeah, 3-4.
Right, I mean, that's his thing. Well, guess what? 1999, he became our defense coordinator. We didn't switch to a 3-4. He was our defense coordinator. We played 4-3. Now, granted, we played bat. We played some different things. But our base was a 4-3. And he could coach. We were great defense that year, one of the best in the league.
But you were an established 4-3 as well, right? With personnel True. That was
– We weren't built for a 3-4.
We were built for that, exactly.
We were built for a 4-3.
And I think, you know, from the outside looking in, people say, all right, well, these guys – you could put together a 4-3 where you've got Schobert and Jack. We talked about –
3-4, you mean.
Or a 3-4, yep. Excuse me. And you'd have to move Jack inside, which you've, I believe, talked about would take away some of his – You know,
No. Here's the problem. Schobert, out of the two guys, Miles is my thumper.
Mm-hmm.
So my thumper has to take on that guard.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
But I would move him to the other one. But Schobert can't be that guy. He'd get worked. He's not physical enough to take
that. So you
that
don't
on.
Have that guy.
You don't
right
have
now.
That guy for that position alone.
Right.
You may not have the nose. You know, 6'5 is a big dude to play nose. You want short and stocky, you know. You want wide more than height to take on those double teams. You know what I mean? Not that they're too tall, don't get me wrong, but they're not really built. Al Woods, yeah. If Al Woods was right here, I think he's played in a 3-4 before. So could he play that nose? Sure he could, but he's not here. So, you know, look, Todd Walsh made it clear. He's a 4-3 defensive coordinator. There's other 4-3 defenses out there that totally kick ass, and they're exciting. I know the last call is like boring 4-3, that like the 3-4 is this magical, you know, exciting. Whoa, look right at us come! You know, it's not the old 46, you know, of Buddy Ryan. But no, look, he's a 4-3 guy. I like the fact that he's trying to mix it up and seeing what, you know, what he can put out there with what he has.
All right. Question of the day out there is, which three Jaguars do you think will have the best performances this week against the Pittsburgh Steelers? You can weigh in a variety of ways on social media, on the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures, or picking up the phone and calling 641-1010. We'll get back to the defensive side of the ball in hour number two with Joe Schobert and Josh Allen. Coming up on the other side, this Dayton football and the gems from around the National Football League. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Tom McManus, and ET Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, just a trio of birthdays to note on this date in football history. November 20th through the years, we go back to 1956. Happy 64th to Mark Gastineau, NFL defensive end and a five-time Pro Bowler consecutively in the early 80s for the Jets. Three-time first-team All-Pro. Had the sack record in a season until Brett Favre decided to give it to Michael Strahan. And he admitted. He just gave it to him, laid down, and let Strahan touch him down to break the record, I think, by a half sack.
It was, yeah. Right? What a great D-line back in the day the Jets had.
The sack exchange.
Yeah, with, right.
Joe Klecko and Marty Lyons.
Marty Lyons, right.
Second team all 1980s was Gastineau. 22 sacks in 84 was that single-season high for him. Happy 63rd to Hall of Famer Dwight Stevenson. Dwight Stevenson made five Pro Bowls.
Oh, yeah.
Just like Tony Boselli.
Yep.
Dwight
Played
Stevenson
in less games.
Started 87 games. Tony Boselli started 90.
Yep.
But that's not enough to get into the Hall of Fame.
He
was all 1980s. Tony was all 1990s. So happy birthday to the equally deserving of the Hall of Fame,
Absolutely.
Dwight Stevenson, who is already inducted, and he's been in there for 22 years. Trey Thomas was born on this date. One of the great DeLand Bulldogs, thank you very much. The 11th overall pick in the 1998 NFL draft. Trey signed with the Jaguars in 2009 as a little bit of left tackle insurance and ended up playing 8 games with 3 starts for the team before ultimately retiring in his 30s. Trey Thomas is 46 years old today. Eugene Monroe was the guy the Jags took in the top 10 that year,
right.
But they had Thomas kind of like as the placeholder in case they didn't get that guy in the draft, and then Monroe was their pick. So Thomas is 46, and that's what we have for you on this date in football history.
Now, gems around the NFL, brought to you by Beaches Jewelry and Pawn in Jack's Beach.
Reports have come out this morning that Taysom Hill has been getting the work as the starter for the New Orleans Saints and will get his first start this weekend for Drew Brees, who is out. That means Jameis Winston not being handed the ball for the Saints this week. Taysom Hill, the starter. The Philadelphia Eagles are expected to sign free agent running back Jordan Howard to their practice squad. Howard played in 10 games last year for the Eagles before signing with the Miami Dolphins in free agency. He was released by the Dolphins earlier this week. Carolina quarterback Teddy Bridgewater has been limited at practice the last 2 days, and while no official decision has been made, it appears unlikely that he'll be able to play on Sunday. P.J. Walker and Will Greer have been splitting the reps in practice this week for the Panthers. Kansas City Chiefs running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire did not practice Thursday because of an undisclosed illness. Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver T. Higgins was held out of practice on Thursday due to an undisclosed illness. Green Bay Packers wide receiver Devontae Adams didn't practice on Thursday because of an ankle injury. New Orleans Saints running back Alvin Kamara was held out of practice on Thursday because of a foot injury. Detroit Lions running back DeAndre Swift didn't practice on Thursday because of a concussion. Around the AFC South this weekend, Jacksonville hosts Pittsburgh at 1 o'clock on Sunday. 6-3 Tennessee is at 6-3 Baltimore at 1 p.m. Sunday afternoon. Baltimore has lost two of their last three. Tennessee has lost three of their last four coming into that one. Houston is at home against New England at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. Green Bay is at the Indianapolis Colts, who come into the weekend leading the division after their win over Tennessee last Thursday night. Here are the other games to keep an eye on regarding draft position for the Jags. The winless New York Jets, led by Joe Flacco, coming off their bye, will be at the 2-7 LA Chargers Sunday at 4:05. 2-7 Washington hosts 2-6-1 Cincinnati at 1 o'clock on Sunday, and 2-7 Dallas will be at suddenly resurgent Minnesota Sunday at 4:25.
Oh, that'd be a great one for Dallas to get. Help us out on a couple of fronts. Wouldn't that be nice, right? Improve that second round pick just a smidge that we're getting from the Vikings and knock Dallas out of contention. Because you get to three, I think you're safe.
Probably.
Not going to leapfrog the Jags. By the way, your first story there, Taysom Hill, the fantasy football world is abuzz today because Taysom Hill will play quarterback. And, you know, running quarterbacks are very attractive anyway because you can rack up points faster running the ball than you can passing it. And but Taysom Hill on the ESPN fantasy platform and on FanDuel has tight end eligibility. So it's like playing, and there's, other than Travis Kelce, if you play fantasy football, you know this is a year of miserable tight end production.
Oh, it's awful. Yeah.
Terrible. Every week you're just, give me 10 points and that's a major outburst. Score a touchdown, and I don't care if that's the only catch you had. That is fantastic. So for a guy who's going to put up quarterback stats, even bad quarterback stats.
Doesn't matter, yeah.
In your tight end position. Yeah. He will be, what will he be, Tony, 97% owned on FanDuel this week?
Should be.
I mean, right, because he's like the minimum price.
I mean, you talk about a guy, tight end, if you need a touchdown to make your week, like Taysom Hill will get a goal line carry this week.
Oh, sure.
And probably a handful of them because that's who he is. Where are the Saints are playing?
Atlanta?
Yes, that's right, because Jameis, I was looking at playing Jameis in a league because they got that matchup in Atlanta's been terrible. I think they've been the worst or the most lenient in giving up points to quarterbacks in fantasy. So
got rid of their coach and GM too, didn't they, or something like that?
They did. Well, they've actually played a little bit better since, but overall, still cumulatively for the year. And it's ironic that they elevated Raheem Morris, who is their defensive coordinator, after their defense was getting shredded.
Yeah.
But they played better under him than they had under Dan Quinn. So
very cool.
There you go. All right. Let's get Mac on the north side in next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Mac.
Hey, hello, Tom, at first.
Hello.
All right. Hey, Mike, you're the football god.
I'm not any god. No. No, sir. No, sir.
Well, we're going to make it.
Lord,
we're
Michael.
We're going to make Mike there for this phone call. Mike, you didn't deliver my Houston win. You failed to do that. Now, Mike, I want a Pittsburgh win, and I want a Tennessee win, and the rest of them you can throw in the river.
I don't think I'm going to be able to help you out on this one, Mac. I'm just going to let you down easy in advance.
Tennessee, maybe.
And if I had that power, I would be giving the Jets a couple of wins.
I was about to say, I've already been helping you.
Right. I'd be giving them to the Jets and then let the Jags, you know, take their own chances.
That's right. The boat has showed up at the roof with the floods going on, and you have sent it on its way. I've been helping you out here.
I have no control of the situation. This will last for a metaphorical 40 days and nights now, Mac. Is that it, Mac? Are you predicting a Jaguar win versus the Steelers this week?
Thank God, I'll be at the game.
All right, buddy. Well, there he goes. Yeah. He's out the door. He's going to
be.
He
said yes.
Game. Yes.
Yes.
All right.
I think.
Hey, you never know. Look, I'm not saying they can't. Look, if you had said they can't win, they didn't win against Green Bay. They certainly could have won against Green Bay. There's no question about it.
Without question.
Just because one result is the end result doesn't mean it was the only possible one. Could they beat Pittsburgh? I think it's highly unlikely.
Right.
But it's
in a punt return for a touchdown or something like that.
Exactly, like they did last week. Pick off Roethlisberger a time or two, right? Or get a key sack fumble. I know you'd have to get the sack part of that to make right. that happen, but it could happen. Right?
Could happen, definitely.
You know? We could pick them off five times.
We might pick them off six times. Why stop at five, right? Well, probably because
we
don't have
last week it clicks the personnel. Various times, right? You know, it clicked a little bit last week.
It can happen. Look, you know, I want them to be competitive. I don't want it to be, you know, for their sake, I want them to
win.
Developing building blocks for the future. I don't think the end result carries over. I do think individual development carries over.
Yeah.
Right? Whether Devon Hamilton is going to be who he is next year in large part because of the hard work he's putting in right now and the experience he's getting, whether they're 1-15 or 3-13, it's not going to change the player Devon Hamilton is next year. You know,
he's only going to get better, hopefully. You know, you could say that Daniel Thomas, you know, he's found a home. I think
that's
another guy that, you know, Henderson, I think he, you know, it was one game coming back, but he played, you know, his best game, like you said, prior to week one. So, unfortunately, he got hurt.
It stinks because, like, you go back to DJ Chark's rookie season. He missed, the last five games.
Your ankle.
And he had such a good second season, you wonder if it could have been even better.
Right.
You know, it worked out in his case.
Yep.
But you'd love, if nothing else, C.J. Henderson, man, just take your lumps now. You know, learn.
Yeah,
make some mistakes and process some stuff that's going to make you a better player in 2021.
I want to see Clay Brooks play defense more, too. You know, I want to see what he's got.
You're probably going to get your wish.
You know, he's done a great job on special teams. I'd like to see him, see what he can do in that defensive backfield.
All right, earlier, Tom.
What?
I asked you.
Where's that squirrel?
I know. Because it was in that Tom's like, when we went to the last break, he's like, you know, we forgot. We talked about the positions of need. Yes, let's do that. But I'm going to tempt fate one more time because we got to take a break right now.
Oh,
and I'm not doing this on purpose to drag it out. Tom's top two or three positions of need on this team heading into the offseason as it stands now, other than the quarterback position. I promise you, we will not forget to do that coming up in a moment here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
All Jags, all NFL, Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, let's get into your top three favorite Jaguar uniform combinations of all time. Just kidding.
It's funny you say that.
Is it?
Yeah, because this is a Gucci Mane song called Photo Shoot.
I knew that.
It kind of goes along
connection
with it.
There.
Trying to work it in.
Photos.
You say that.
Jaguar
like
uniform photos.
Explaining to me.
You already knew that.
I already knew that. No, we are actually going to talk about what we said we were going to talk about.
Which
what was
what?
That? No. Other than quarterback, Tom, as it stands now, we don't know how everyone's going to play over the final seven games of the season. But looking at it today, which position groups or specific positions do you think need the biggest upgrades?
Yeah. So, you know, I was thinking during the last segment when I thought we were going to talk about it, but I'm just kidding. You know.
Teal on white.
We've
Sorry. Where were we?
I hate the all gold. You know, we've talked about how there's been hits and misses, more misses than hits at the quarterback position with the Jags, right, over the years. Of course, Brunell is still, after all this time, the best quarterback this franchise has had. David was fine, obviously very good. Leftwich had his moments. But other than that, it's been bad. Well, look at left tackle in that same vein. You know, now, granted, Tony Boselli was – all decade. You know, he was once, I don't want to say once in a lifetime, but he was
maybe
pretty
once
damn
in
special.
A lifetime. That level of
he was
of
very
player,
special.
Sure.
He was very, very special. I don't know if you can ever, you know, duplicate that or mimic that, but getting close. But you think about, you mentioned Eugene Monroe. Eugene was pretty decent. I like Khalif for a little bit, but something happened to Khalif. I thought he had the right skill set and temperament to play it. You know, Cam has been okay. He's just – and the whole offensive line has been okay. So, to answer question, at least number one for me is I need a stud left tackle. I need
you
someone
that
I – You
don't think that's Cam Robinson? I'm just asking.
What's that?
Do you do not think that's Cam Robinson, it sounds like.
I mean, I'd be willing to still look at him throughout the end of the year, but those crucial moments is when you need your left tackle. I mean, that's like, look, I'd rather have you give up a sack or two earlier in the game than give it up right then and there when we need you to keep our quarterback clean. Same goes for Juwan Taylor on the other side, but yeah, I need a better left tackle.
Okay, left
so
tackle.
That would be number one. I need to upgrade my right defensive end. So that's number two. Chaisson's not it. I'd like to see him in a different role, and I'd like to see a stud defensive end come in. And number three, I'd say another corner. I want another press, get him in the face, you know, physical, you know, they can play the position. So I'd say corner.
I think a lot will depend on Sidney Jones as well, E. Cut five from Todd Wash here, talking about the cornerback position. We've talked about our desire to see him sign an extension here. He's played fantastic.
He's played very well, no doubt.
His mid-20s, still a young guy, and Wash said he hopes Sidney Jones is a Jaguar for a long time.
Sidney gave up the one, you know, deep play last week, but he's getting his hands on balls. I think he's being disruptive. He's really doing a nice job in man coverage and, you know, getting disruption at the line of scrimmage. Obviously, some plays you don't even see that he gets great disruption at the line of scrimmage and the quarterback goes away from him. So he's playing consistent, which is really good to see. You know, hopefully he's going to be a Jaguar for a while.
That'd be great. Would you be, when you say you need an upgrade, like, or another corner, is that presuming Sidney Jones will not be here, knowing he's not under contract? Like, is he?
If there's a stud corner coming out, I still want him.
Okay.
Regardless of Sidney's here or whoever's here, I would. And, you know, maybe who knows where Sidney ends up. Does he end up inside as a nickel? Does he, you know, beat the young kid out? That's okay, too, if that happens. Yeah, but if there's a stud corner. Our corners, you know, look, lately they've been playing better, but overall they haven't played very well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, they give up too much. You know, like we talked about, Henderson's been up and down better, you know, as of late, but. And Jones makes plays. I'm not saying he's not a capable player, but I think depending on who's coming, you know, who we can get or who that stud that I would want.
What about D tackle?
Is Al Woods coming back? Yeah,
don't
you
know.
Need another D lineman. Yeah, sure. You always need another D lineman.
Hey, look,
I could say guard, too.
We could
too.
Say a long list of positions,
you know,
right? So narrowing it down to the most crucial is not that easy. You know, it
right.
depends on how – we don't know how they feel about Cam Robinson, for one, you know, in terms of wanting to sign into that 4 or 5 year massive extension potentially, or will there even be a massive extension out there if he hits free agency because of the salary cap numbers,
right, with the salary,
you know, in
cap.
Part. And how is his play seen around the league? He's still a young – I got to believe, man, just people overpay or willing to –
Oh, he'll get
overpay.
Paid.
He'll
There's
get
no
paid a
doubt.
Lot
Somebody's
going to
pay
right?
him a ridiculous amount of money. Maybe it is the Jags. I don't know. But to me, I just.
You wouldn't do it, though.
Not until he shows that I can really count on him. I need to count on my left tackle more than almost any other position on offense. He's got to stop that rush. He has to. May not win every time. But those critical moments, man, my quarterback needs freaking time. It can't be rushed or it's over. Granted, that doesn't mean that costs us the game, but it didn't help us, you know?
Yeah.
You have a chance to win.
It's just, you know, I haven't really done a deep dive on it yet because we're not in draft mode.
Yeah.
We're on the brink. But it's not supposed to be a great year for defensive line.
I know.
Is that right?
Tony Pauline put out his, you know, big board for the first time like 3-4 days ago. I glanced at it, haven't really studied it, but I did look because I know defensive, especially defensive interior, is going to be a need for this football team. He didn't have a single interior player in his top 50.
Wow.
His top 50.
Top 50.
Not one.
Whoa. That's not good.
Well,
you get Al Woods back, maybe.
And
I
you
don't
get
know.
Another Hamilton type in the third round.
Right. Right. You don't always have
I
to
don't
get
I don't know who
him
that
first.
Is. I'm just saying.
Right, because that'd be – After that'd be 50.
Well,
right?
yeah,
top
I mean, you know, mm-hmm. you still that you can get a really good play just because you're outside the top 50. But if you're looking for that one, Derek Brown.
Yeah, they're not in this draft.
And Derek Brown's been okay, right? And I don't think he's really set the world on fire like
everyone
thought he was gonna.
I thought I've heard that he's been coming on. Here over the second half of the year.
I thought I saw midseason grades. You know, someone did the first round midseason grade, and it. I think Jason was like the lowest graded.
Yes,
surprised.
PFF had him as the lowest graded run defender in the league.
Yeah, well, as tough taking on those Grizzly Bears when you're a cheetah.
Well, you know, look. Sometimes we want it all right away too.
Yeah.
You know, cheetah's not going to win against a grizzly bear. He's just going to run around him.
If you have watched Arizona play this year, Isaiah Simmons hasn't done much all season.
Came out a little bit last night. Yeah.
He had 9 solo tackles, including a sack.
Yeah, I saw him. Yep.
And
he wasn't even playing much.
No. Look at it here. He had no sacks prior to that. He had 3, 1, 1, 1, 1, 2, 1, 4, and 2 tackles in each game. Yeah. A little bit more productive than Kalyvon Chaisson, but and I understand that he played different positions. Yeah. He should get more tackles and things like that. But I think if you had Isaiah Simmons here in Jacksonville, you'd be like, what the hell is this coaching staff doing wrong?
I think he's still having a good year. He was earlier, that kid from that linebacker from Oklahoma. But that went to the Chargers. Yeah, I think he was being pretty productive for them.
He's okay, I think.
Okay. I thought I saw he was having a pretty deal. I don't know what his stats are, but I thought earlier in the year I saw that he was playing at a
Isaiah Simmons, over the first 7 games of the year for Arizona, didn't play more than 29% of the snaps in any game.
Wow.
Like, they just weren't playing him much. And here in the last 3 weeks, they finally let him play a little bit. Played 53% of the snaps against Miami. Last night, he played 68% of the snaps. Yeah. So his production may be going up with him earning more playing time there in Arizona as well. But, yeah, he had virtually no impact.
He's off the ball, too, isn't he?
Yeah.
You're off your mic.
He's off the ball,
there
too, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Sorry.
Yes, he is.
I just want everybody else
sometimes
to hear
that. Sometimes I forget.
It's not just us. Here. Kenneth Murray hasn't done a ton. Early in the season, he got off to a pretty good start. And I know this is not the only indicator, but, you know, he is – a linebacker expected to make tackles, and he hasn't had more than 5 combined solos and assists since week 4.
Wow.
You know, so it's been
that
a while.
Very good then.
No, it's just been.
Yeah.
And I don't know, their games have been strange. It could be a case because the Chargers seem to get up on an opponent every week, so maybe they're giving up a lot more passing in the second half, you know, and teams aren't running the ball, and then they ultimately come back and beat them.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know,
it's funny you say it. So when I was watching BC get the crap kicked out of them by Notre Dame, they mentioned that BC's 2 inside backers are 2 of the top tacklers in the entire nation.
Mm-hmm.
And after 8 games, they had like 80 tackles. I was like, that doesn't seem like a lot. I'm not boasting. I had 120 after. I had to average like 15 a game. But the game was different, right? It was more ground and pound back then. Play action pass, I guess. And maybe that's the same for today's pro game. I don't know. I mean, are guys making double-digit tackles in games? You know, you don't hear much of that, I guess.
What, in the NFL?
I don't pay attention to it, though.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's still plenty of guys that
that are doing that game after game.
There are a handful that do it game after game. And a lot of it depends on the scoring system. You know, it's an unofficial stat.
Right.
Right? So
you've got – subjective, a lot of it.
It really is.
It is,
I mean, there are
assists could be like thrown out the window
around the league that if 2 guys make the play on a tackle, one guy will get the solo, one guy will get the assist. There are other ones – that will give them both an assist, and nobody gets a solo tackle. So when you're looking at stats, it's hard to compare team by team to team, player to player. Sometimes
I'm laughing because I just was reminded I was in Publix this week with my wife, and a guy goes by. He's probably about 30 years old, 35. And he goes, "It's all about TNA, Tommy Mac. It's all about TNA." My wife was like, "What was that?" I explained it to her. She's like, "Oh my gosh!"
Yeah, about 10 or 11 games into the season right now, Bobby Wagner, Blake Martinez, Roquan Smith, all tied for the league lead with 96
Bobby
tackles.
Wagner, boy,
yeah, so they're getting active. Right at 10 tackles a game.
Yeah,
basically,
that's great.
Yeah,
I mean, that's those guys. Bobby Wagner's phenomenal player.
All right, let's do this. We'll come back on the other side. We'll look at the question of the day response and to find out who you think the 3 top performers will be, and we'll give you some of ours as well, maybe even go one quick time around the table for Keys to Victory.
Oh!
Keys to Victory Friday. Mike
Drink
Dempsey.
Drink a lot of Tito's.
Tommy Mack, Tony Smith.
And you'll win.
And ET, Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today
on 1010XL.
E, by the way, I thought we were really nice. Nary a peep out of us that Tony Smith took DeAndre Swift in our breakfast bowl draft yesterday, and he shows up with a concussion.
What a loser!
Oh, my goodness.
Tony Smith, that is. DeAndre,
yeah,
get better.
DeAndre, get
at least my guys are getting zeros. Like, they're healthy when I take them, at least.
I don't know. Was he?
Yes.
Hard to say.
Yes. He was healthy. He talked after practice on Wednesday.
Yeah,
for
5 minutes. You heard what he said, though? He talked about his long career in the NBA. He didn't sound like a guy who had all his faculties there.
And then he shows up drafted. Thursday. This is the Hooper Aaron Jones week all over again.
I love it. Fantastic. You got to pick tougher guys, man.
Got to pick better guys, man.
I pick guys that have stronger helmets or something. We wish the best for DeAndre Swift. Or
put your heads.
You got a GM better, man.
A Swift return.
Swift return.
Starting next week from his concussion. So there
tough
you go.
Crowd tone.
That is what it is.
There's
breakfast on the line. I'm in last place for the year, and it's because of stuff like this. Like, this is the third time this year that I've
like
this. Yeah,
this is the third week this year I've taken a guy that was healthy, not on an injury report anywhere on Thursday when we're drafting. And it's out
this,
for the
this
week.
This week's points haven't even been added up yet. What does that have to do
it's
with
it? It's out for the week.
He already capitulated.
No. I'm really glad I'm throwing the Patrick Mahomes bullet this week, because I thought about not doing it with all the questions about what's going on. I hope nobody for the Raiders defense can play and they get completely annihilated. It's
if
my
nobody
only
for
chance.
The Raiders defense can play, then welcome to week 18 and Patrick Mahomes got to make that 0-2.
Make them run him out there.
They can run him out there.
Oh, they can
just
run
can't
him out
play.
There.
All right, we'll see how it goes. I love it. I love starting at in a plus position at one spot, though. He feels good heading into the weekend.
What's
great.
Normally breakfast, and what day is it?
It's Thursday.
Thursday.
We do it with Mike
and what
Duraco.
Is it, Chick-fil-A?
No, it's normally something nutritious and delicious.
Yes, it used to be. Last year was just that was our go-to. And then this year, Mike Duraco got me a fruit bowl, which was very nice of him because, you know, as I'm trying not to eat, fast food and stuff like that right now. So then – unfortunately, these guys have gotten sucked into the fruit bowl breakfast. So, I'd much rather have a chicken biscuit of some kind myself.
Yeah, no doubt.
I imagine
bacon.
They would as well with bacon.
Love
and ham.
Bacon. Mm.
Throw that on there.
Yeah, bacon's good for you.
Is it?
I think so. I mean, I've been eating it for a long time.
You seem healthy.
I seem fine.
You seem fine, right? Like, I'm the same way. Like, I'm like,
I don't know.
Not exactly the paragon of health here, man. You know, like, I've been trying to lose weight, but that's because I gained a lot to begin with. You know, like, I'm like, I'm getting along pretty good here. You know, I thought about that yesterday. Like, I don't have anything out of the ordinary going on so terrible. And I haven't exactly stuck to the U.S.
You
got to
find a happy medium. Moderation is the key.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Bacon.
I mean, sometimes
and moderation.
You know, sometimes you indulge, sometimes you don't.
I think so. And if you say it like that, that's what I think. That's what I've been led to believe.
Live your life, man.
That might be the case.
Healthy.
I'm with you. Bacon is fantastic. Bacon. Mm. Bacon is the most American of foods, I think. I was watching a cooking show the other day. I do like a good cooking show. We'll throw on Food Network. Leave it on for all day, honestly. I love that network. But a guy from some Scandinavian country was coming over. He was on Chopped. You know the show Chopped?
Yeah.
Right, where they get the weird ingredients, whatever.
Okay, yeah.
It's a fun show.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's like, I can't do Scandinavian. I can't do his accent, but whatever it was in a great Scandinavian accent, if I've learned anything in America, just add bacon, right? Add more bacon.
Yeah.
That's it.
So the pig is more American than the cow?
Bacon is a big...
Oh, I agree.
Think of all the different things bacon goes in. Mm. I mean, no, I think a good hamburger is as American as anything. You can't add a hamburger to any meal, any dish.
Right.
You could.
Although a hamburger patty with eggs in the morning is yummy.
I think so. All right, let's get into our response to the question of the day.
Okay,
right.
Which was?
Which favorite Jaguar uniform combinations? Yeah. clearly, don't you remember? It is which three players you think will have the best performances against the Steelers this week? I'll lead off with my 10 take.
10
10-10. This 10-10 take is brewed by Cigar City Brewing. When craft beer lovers think Florida, they think Cigar City Brewing. Whether it's High Lie IPA or the newest offering, High Low IPA, they have you covered for any occasion.
All right, my 10-10 take on the Jaguars' top performers against the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, I think you could go kind of chalky almost every week because there aren't a ton of guys that you could point to that you can consistently expect high-level performances out of right now, right? So I'm going to try to go not completely chalk for this week, although I'll start with an obvious one, I think, and that's Miles Jack, who has been playing fantastic. PFF graded him the best red zone defender in the league. He's been at times graded their best linebacker in the league this year.
Phenomenal.
He's going to have an impact on this game, and it's going to be a positive impact on this game. And he is right now their best player on defense. I think their team MVP has been James Robinson, but I will put Miles Jack number one on my list. I'm going to go with Sidney Jones here, and realizing he can only cover one person, and I think he adds – added importance with the absence of C.J. Henderson. Don't know who they're going to utilize him on, but I think he's their best cover guy that they have right now, and he'll be called on for, you know, quite a bit because Pittsburgh's going to throw the ball a ton, I believe, on Sunday, and I think he'll be up to the task at his position. And then I'm going to go on the other side of the ball. I think it'd be easy to say Devon Hamilton here, but I'm not going to say James Robinson. I think he's going to get a big workload, but I think it's going to be a tough day for him. I think it's going to be a grinded out kind of day. Hope I'm wrong on that. I think the Jags are going to be behind, have to pump the ball through the air a little bit more. And I'm going to go with DJ Chark with the, I don't know, the bounce back week. Keelan Cole was the big play guy last week. I'm going to say it's Chark reverting to his spot atop the pecking order. So I'll go with Miles Jack, Sidney Jones, and DJ Chark as my top three best performers for the Jags this week. Tom McManus, what say you?
I'm going to say Keelan Cole has a big day. Now, granted, it might only be two catches, but Luton will hit him once or twice down the field, I think. So I'm going to go with him. Can we copy or no? We got to come up with our own guys.
No, you don't have to come up with your own guys.
Because like Miles he's been playing fantastic. I'm so glad he's playing well. Without a doubt, I like him. And you know what? Give credit where credit's due. I think he'll have another solid performance. Is McLaughlin? Is that how you pronounce it? The kicker. What a great job coming out.
He
out
of
nowhere.
Nice job,
especially in that wind. That's pretty.
Had no time to practice with the team.
Yeah.
Because of the COVID restrictions. Just basically Saturday met his holder, met his snapper. You know, got together. Hey guys, I'm gonna kick for you. They throw him out there for a 52-yarder. Now, the wind was generally – he had it with going, him. But it was – I think it was probably swirling around. Either way, look, after the bunch of guys they went through early in the season, Tony, I'll take that performance out of McLaughlin last week. So you got Miles, you got Chase
Keelan
McLaughlin,
Cole.
And Keelan Cole.
Miles and the kicker.
All right, Tony.
My list was Jack Jones and Chark. That's the three guys that I had written down.
I stole your list.
It was Jack, the same three guys. But it's because of where my mind is with this game. I don't think the Jaguars can beat Pittsburgh without being +2 in turnover margin. I don't think they can. And so if I had to pivot from one of those guys, I think Sidney Jones is important because he's the one who is getting his hands on the football the most in that secondary for the Jaguars, and I think he has to have an interception likely for them this week. So I'll go to Josh Allen. Because Ben Roethlisberger, not so much this year, but in the past, has had a tendency to hold on to the ball for a little bit longer. So maybe it gives Josh Allen an opportunity. And when he gets there, you know, a sack is nice, but it feels like a week they're going to need to force a fumble at some point and recover it if they're going to have a chance to pull off the upset this week. And Miles Jack is an easy one to add to that list because not only is he the most active defender they have, but he's always around those plays. Right, like he's the one who has the fumble recovery last week. Like when they are creating those kind of opportunities, Miles Jack is usually the one causing it or around the ball when those kind of things are happening. So it's easy to put him in that discussion as well. And DJ Chark, I do. I think they're going to have to throw it. I think because of the challenges the Steelers defense presents, it's hard to put Luton as that guy on the offense for me because I do think the Steelers are going to get to him. More than we've seen through his first couple of starts.
Yeah.
So a big week from Chark. I think 120 plus with a touchdown is probably what they're going to need from DJ this week. Yeah.
We'll take it. ET, who you got?
Well, Tony, since you think that Luton ain't going to have a big week, that's what I think. I think they're going to key on James Robinson because he's been the only consistent thing really on offense for us. So, you know, I think they're going to force Luton to play, and he going to come through. So Luton's going to be my one.
Okay.
And if the quarterback going to have a good day, of course the receiver's going to have a good day. So Chark is going to be my number two. And Jack, Miles Jack, the way he's playing, you know, you got to go with him.
All right, Jake Luton at the top of the list.
My young dog. My little homie.
He would probably have to play very well if they're going to win this football game.
Well, I want to see how they block. I mean, you got Truitt, who's a beast, you know, in the middle. It's Truitt, right? Or Tuitt without the R. Of course, TJ Watt, he's having a monster year. Bud Dupree, is he healthy?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's having another. I mean, these guys, they get after you, man. they get after you. It's going to be a challenge for this offensive line. We'll see how they react to it, but. I see Luton having some big plays. Like, you know, I do think he'll get the ball downfield, but I think he's going to have a tough day. Unless they get the ball out real quick, I don't think our O-line's going to hold up to this defensive pressure.
I think he is too. I hope they do. You know, I want to see him have a chance to
absolutely.
Go through his reads, you know, show what he can. Yep. I'm not expecting Jake Luton's going to be the answer at the quarterback position for the Jags, but I want him to look as good as possible.
Absolutely.
Either to give them confidence that they've got something in him as a backup, or can you get something for him?
Right.
Quarterback's always in demand. So.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right. Keys to victory. If they're going to win this football game, win the turnover battle. I mean, they did it last week, but I'm going to say – by two, have a two turnover edge. Okay. Is that what you
minimum.
Said?
Yep. Minimum. Plus two. Minimum.
Okay. I'll piggyback on Tony's then. Smart guy put that thought in my head.
Pound the football. I mean, they're giving up like 4.2 or 3 yards a carry. The run defense is for the Steelers. Run right at those outside backers. Run at them, not away from them. Tuitt again is going to be an issue. Hayward's tough. Tyson's been playing well. Alu-Alu. So. You got your hands full, but try to stay committed to that run game because James Robinson, man, he's – and that BS holding call. Gosh dang, if he had that – he added that, the con call mm-hmm. last week, that was such crap. What a great run by the young kid who had even better yardage and better makeup. But he I stay committed to the run game and see what you can do.
E.T.
Man, keep all those weapons in front. Big Ben got a lot of weapons. You got to keep those guys in front of you.
Yeah.
They all look the same. The Washington, Juju, and all of them. You just keep them in front of you.
Except for Claypool. He looks like a
– Yeah, he's different.
He looks like a chip off the DK Metcalf block. Just a chip. I didn't say the whole block.
Hopefully not the block where he lets the ball hit him in the face in the end zone.
Yeah, DK. Yeah, you can't catch that.
Get
one
those hands
chin.
Up.
Right. He tried to catch that, like, the wrong way. He had to flip his hands on that. You know, he tried to, like, cradle it into his face.
That was a rocket. I mean, Russell put some heat on that one, man. Yeah. Holy cow.
Yeah, I saw him on Twitter this morning asking Russ to apologize.
for
the
easy.
Rocket.
It's easy when you get
he
the
did
dog.
For the rocket on that
big
one.
Key here.
Yeah, I think, look, with C.J. Henderson out, it's not like I was going to love the plan with trying to defend these three receivers anyway for the Steelers team coming in. But, whew, without him, I mean, you need two or three of these young guys to really step up. We've talked about Clay Brooks this morning already a little bit. He'll probably step into the starting lineup for you. You hope that DJ Hayden comes back, has some kind of impact for you. But this secondary is going to be severely tested in a way that I don't even know that they've been tested like this yet this year with what they're going to be facing with Roethlisberger and the way this pass game is working right now for the Steelers. They haven't needed a run game for a month from James Conner, and they're still – just
don't
dominating.
That tight end can cause damage.
Ebron,
right? He is very athletic. He can get down that field. So, I mean, we got Miles hopefully covering him. But other than that, he may pose a problem.
All right. With that, let's say hello to XL Primetime.
Now, the two-minute drill. Delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's.
Now's the time for gift cards. For every $25 you buy, you get $5 back in MoBucks to be used at Moe's.com, in-store or on the Moe's app.
All right, Big Sir's in the house. Hello, Leon.
What's going on, baby?
What's up, man?
Hey, what's up, T-Mac?
Can I just say one thing real quick? I'll never forget the moment I learned that the Jags signed the great Leon Searcy for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I remember that, 1996. Holy cow, when Leon came to the team. Big, big upgrade. I remember like yesterday.
Just like when he walked into the studio a few minutes ago.
That's right. That's right.
Turned in amazement.
Are we jacked for still a week? Are we jacked? There's no buzz.
No. Yeah, it's no buzz because nobody thinks they're going to win.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, that doesn't matter. I mean,
sure it does.
It's got to be a still. You still want to see a good game?
Listen, I understand that.
You're the one that told me the other day that we got a winning record against the Steelers.
Yeah. Right.
AFC Central.
We also had a lot better players in those games, yeah. Mostly.
I'm never jacked about getting punched in the face.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, one year we swept.
We did.
We did sweep it one year. But they were the bar we set.
Oh, yeah.
We were.
I understand. Look, you know, if you guys want to get in the time machine and hop on the field on Sunday, I might revise my prediction. But
get that hormone replacement therapy ready.
Get the guys motivated.
Maybe. What are you expecting on Sunday, Leon?
A beating.
Well, there you go. Why is there no buzz?
A drubbing. That's what I'm expecting. All right? Exactly. But it's Friday. I'm feeling good Friday until we get to Sunday.
All right.
Yeah.
Feel good Friday. What do you guys have coming up today?
Well, we got Damani Dawson coming on. Hall of Famer Damani Dawson. He's going to give us, you know, the breakdown of what it is to be a Steeler back then.
Oh, he was phenomenal.
Yeah, he was.
That guy would whoop your tail all game long, and then he'd come find you after and be like, hey, great job today.
Listen,
he'd be like, thanks.
You're absolutely
thanks,
right,
Damani.
Damani was in the locker room, Damani would be the kind of guy who would bake you cookies one day and then go on the field and try to knock you.
Oh, yeah. Nothing
wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
All right, Leon, have a great show.
All right, folks,
good weekend,
appreciate
bud. There
you.
He goes, Leon Searcy, out the door for us here today. I'll go Steelers 29-13.
Oh, goodness. I'm going 37-10 Steelers.
37-10.
I agree
31-17
with
Leon.
31-17 ET.
40-17.
40-17.
You said Luton's going to have a big day.
Yeah, Luton's big day.
And he's going to have he gonna have 302 touchdowns. That's
the chart.
Big
the chart. What do you mean? There you go. All right. We'll see how it all goes. That'll do it for us for the week here on Jaguars Today. Tom, enjoy the game this weekend.
Yes. Oh, hey, man.
We'll miss you next week, by the way. No Friday. We won't be here.
Oh, we're
day
not
after
here.
Thanksgiving, yes.
Oh, wow.
You can come in if you'd like.
No, but,
no,
I'm good.
We'll
good,
miss
man.
You. We'll reconvene in 2 weeks.
Beautiful.
And
well,
catch
happy
up on
Thanksgiving
everything.
To
likewise,
everybody out
to you
there.
You as
man.
Well.
Especially
and,
you.
And for Tony Smith, for Tom McManus, for ET, I'm Mike Dempsey. We'll be back again Monday. D-Rock will join us from 10 to noon, as we won't be on next Thursday either for obvious reasons. So have a good weekend. Get what you want out of the Jags game. As a Jags fan, I can't speak to what each of you individually wants. Hopefully they'll be competitive and show some fight and make it a four-quarter game, and I'll leave it at that for now. So we'll talk to you Monday about it. We'll talk to you. Tony, what do you got? You got any high school left to,
yeah,
to do?
Yeah, Bulls still alive. 7-2 Bulls against 7-3 Fernandina Beach for a regional semifinal tonight. Coverage starts at 7, kickoff at 7:30. And then back Sunday morning at 8 a.m. for the tailgate show with Lauren Brooks and Hayes Carline.
I'll be on right after that with J.P. Shadrick. E.T., go check him out on Twitter, at IME to the T. Check out the pinned tweet about the Fill the Box with Sox promotion going strong here in year 3. That'll do it for all of us for Jaguars Today. We'll talk to you Monday on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.